Welcome to the Signature Life Podcast. It's been a while since we've been on, but it's good to be back on, and I'm really excited for the guest I have in studio today. I've got the Ellie Morris.
Welcome to the Signature Life Podcast, where we sit down with signature real estate agents with a shared conviction that moving towards things we want in life starts with the choices we make today. We are creating an ever-evolving culture for those who wish to participate in a larger mission to help others achieve their full potential and a signature life.
Welcome, Ellie.
Thank you. Good to be here, Brandon.
Ellie is one of the top agents here at the Signature Real Estate Group here in Las Vegas. And it's very exciting. I think you got some exciting news that we're going to cover a little bit later. And also, I want to kind of get to know you a little bit better.
Sounds so good.
Part of what the Signature Life Podcast is really getting to know the agents and what they do in real estate, but also outside of real estate. So tell me, I mean, how long have you lived in Vegas?
We've been in Vegas since 2005.
Okay. So 15 years. Quite some time. Yeah. Wow. And you came from Michigan?
Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah. What'd you do up in Michigan?
Well, when I left Detroit, I was in real estate, but only for a couple of years. Previous to that, I was in the insurance business for many years. And before that, I was in the furniture business, retail furniture, man.
So you've been busy.
Yeah, I've been busy, yeah.
So what got you to leave Detroit and head out west?
I had only been in the real estate business for a couple of years. My folks had passed away, my kids had moved away, and I had weathered the rotten Detroit economy all my life. Uh-huh. And I sat there and said, am I going to build a practice here and continue with this economy or go with the future is the Southwest? And that was it. And what was kind of cool, I saw three different signs that told me when to go. One was, I don't even watch the news. I never watch the news. I'm flicking the television, stop on a channel. There's a segment about the Southwest. I go to the doctor the next morning, the Time magazine on the table I'm sitting at, all the growth in the Southwest, and the next day in the Detroit Free Press, front page, not headlines, about the growth in the Southwest. That was it. I told Carol we're moving to Nevada. She was excited, and that was in like May of 2005. By November of 2005, we were out here.
So were you thinking about moving before that, or that just
no,
all of a sudden you just
that
said,
was what triggered it.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So when you came out here, I mean, was it what you expected?
And more.
And more, huh?
Yeah.
What do you like most out in Vegas?
I love everything about it. I love the weather. I love the people. I mean, people that don't live here don't realize what a community we have here.
Right.
I love the community of Las Vegas. But I love the 24/7. I love the 24/7. I could never go back to any town that's not 24/7 again. It's just, that's a fantastic thing. Look, I don't normally order a pizza at 2 in the morning, but it's nice to know that I can if I want to. And here I can.
That's been dangerous for me.
Yeah, me too.
So when you came out here, did you just jump right into real estate then?
Yes, I came actually out in July of 2005 to scout around and look for a company I wanted to put my license with. Passed my licensing classes back in Detroit. And interestingly enough, when I came, the week I came out here, it's still to this day the hottest week on record. It was not below 115 degrees one day.
And you still came.
And that was a cool thing. Because back where I come from, we wore ties, always wear a tie, even in the summer. So I'm interviewing these offices, and I'm wearing a tie. One day I get to my car, I'm loosening my tie. It's like 4 o'clock. I'm thinking, this is the first time I've loosened my tie all day. In Detroit, with that humidity, I would have been taking it up, putting it up and down all day long. That's when I realized I could take the heat. If I could handle this, this would be nothing.
So tell me, so you're married.
Yep.
Wife's name's Carol.
Yep.
How long have you been married?
We've been married for about 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
First marriage?
Third. Quitters never quit. Right? Quitters never win. Winners never quit. That's right.
There you go. But you found the right one.
Found the right one, man.
Yeah, how'd you meet her?
At work, when I was in the insurance business. She worked in the same office I did.
Yeah.
That's how we met. Started going out and
the rest is
history. Yeah. It's been over 25 years since I've known her.
So does she work now?
No.
So how did she like the move?
She loved the move.
She was good.
Oh, she loves the weather. She loves the sunshine. But she had a few jobs here. Because Carol was a secretary most of her life. When she came out here, she got a few jobs doing different things. One of them was she worked for the Little White Chapel.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Right down on the strip.
Yeah, that's right. But then I got connected with a couple of banks when I was doing REOs. And then she got her license. And she started doing BPOs.
Oh, wow.
And she did BPOs then full time. I mean, for about 2-3 years, she did Made a good living doing BP. Yeah, she did.
Broker price opinions.
Yep. Broker price opinions.
Which is the first thing that the bank wants before they're foreclosing or dealing with short sales and stuff like that.
Correct. Yeah. Right.
Very cool. And so you started doing real estate. What do you do for fun out here?
You know, this living here is fun. I'm telling you, I just love it out here. One of the things I like to do to relax is I like to go to the casinos. I love the casinos. I haven't been going lately as much because it's just not quite as much fun masked up and all that social distancing, which I support, but I'm not going as much as I used to. I love to go to the casinos. I love to garden. I was a big gardener in Detroit. And in Detroit, you could take a spade and put it in the ground and come up with a shovel of dirt, no problem. Out here, I now have a pickaxe.
Yeah, and, just to break through the rock.
Man, oh man, it's tough. Yeah, it's tough. I love the garden. I love to cook.
So what do you grow?
I grow, I don't grow veggies or herbs. I like to grow plants. You know, my goal is to turn my backyard into a little oasis.
Yeah.
And we tore a lot of stuff out. The home we live in, Sun City, Summerlin, the home we bought is from 94, I think. I think all the plants were from 94 also.
Yeah.
So a lot of them were overgrown thinnings. We took a lot out, redid a lot, and I'm still doing a lot in the backyard. I love to just bring in new plants and change the formations and see what happens. And, you know, most plants are so inexpensive. If it doesn't work, you pull it out, try again.
Try again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a big piece of property? Or?
It's bigger than it's not bad. Our lot is probably almost 9,000 feet, which for Las Vegas is a pretty decent sized lot.
Yeah.
And a good majority of it is the backyard, which I like.
So how's the community in Sun City, Summerlin? You love living there?
I love it. It's like living in a resort.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. We have 5 pools, 3 outdoor, 2 indoor.
Wow.
4 workout facilities, 3 golf courses. One of them is regularly voted one of the top golf courses, Highland Falls, in all of Las Vegas. I'm not a big golfer, but when I do golf, I golf on the easiest golf course. We have our own little casino, Miller's Pub, Miller's Tavern. There's multiple restaurants. When you're in Sun City, if you don't ever want to leave it, you don't have to. You have everything you want.
Yeah, so you are also quite the entertainer.
I like to entertain. Yeah.
So I've heard you do some stand up.
Yep.
Comedy.
Yeah.
You're a songwriter. Well, you wrote a song for our it was our holiday party.
Our holiday party. Yeah.
So we're gonna play that in this too, so that everyone can hear it, because it was pretty awesome. That was really awesome.
Start spreading the news. We're growing like mad. Want to be a part of it, SREG. The tools that we share, you'll know that we care. You'll want to be a part of it, SREG.
Do you do a lot of stand-up?
I haven't done much out here. I've done a little bit. But in Detroit, there was probably a 5-year period I was doing it 5-6 nights a week.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And I loved it. I just had the time of my life. There was one place called Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, which was like my home base. And if I had nothing to do, I'd just go hang out there, if nothing else. But I got to the point where I was able to do some emceeing there and got paid a few bucks to do that. And it was just a wonderful time. Great, met some great people and had some great experiences.
And you're a huge networker.
I love the network.
So, yeah. So I know before COVID, you were almost out every night.
Yes. I miss
chamber events, everything else. I mean, what are you doing now? Now you've got places not open, a lot more social distancing, smaller crowds. What are you doing now to connect?
We're still doing some Zoom networking, which is, it's nothing like, it's okay. You know, I'm getting tired of it. But I do miss face-to-face networking. I miss it a lot. So what I do now is I just stay in touch with the people that I've networked with. You know, the networking community is really, when you think about the 4 million people here in Clark County, the networking community is makes up of maybe 1,000 people that you see, the same people. So I'm staying in touch with them, but I'm not meeting a lot of new people, and I miss that.
Yeah, that makes it tough. I know when this first started, Zoom was like the neatest thing because you could still connect with people. But now, I think people are a lot Zoomed out.
I am Zoomed out, yeah.
Yeah, makes it tough. So the exciting thing is we've been talking a lot about you starting your own podcast.
Yes, very excited about that.
You have a title?
Yes, What's Real in Real Estate.
That's nice.
With Ellie Morris.
I like it.
Yep, I like it too.
So tell me about what your vision for that show is.
I want to talk about what's really happening in the real estate market. You know, people, I get clients, we all have this. They hear rumors here. Their friends who never even owned a home in their life tell them what's happening in the real estate market. And I, you know, I'm an active realtor. I list homes. I work with buyers. I'm in the trenches. And I want to just bring my experience and what's happening in the marketplace to the consumer. I want them to know what's really happening out there. So when if they're teetering, they're not sure, should I look for a home? Should I not look for, should I sell? Let them know what the facts are. Here's what's really happening out there. Make your decision based on facts, not hearsay. And I hope to bring that information to them. So when they're talking to the realtor, they will be informed and know a little bit about what's going on.
So do you think your show is going to be just serious, or are you going to have some fun in there?
Brandon. Come on. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to bring on guests. We're going to bring on guests who are in the real estate business, people that are, you know, lenders, title people, appraisers, home inspectors. We're also going to bring on people that are not in the real estate business. We'll bring on some politicians. We'll bring on some entertainers. We're going to bring on a lot of people to come. We're going to just expose Las Vegas to you. And this is the greatest city in the world. And I think people need to know we're more than just a strip.
Wow, it sounds like it's going to be a fun show.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I look forward to seeing what you do with it. And that I always like to listen to you and listen to your stories and stuff. And I think you're very entertaining. And every time you come into the office, you bring an energy. And I know you'll bring that to.
Hope to, yes.
Yeah. So in real estate, do you have any crazy stories, crazy clients?
Oh, man, crazy clients? I've told you many times.
You don't have to name names.
No. I'll tell you a funny story. I was doing a BPO over by zip code 89107, Alta and Rainbow area. I had the wrong address. I'm on the wrong street. Right number, I'm on the wrong street. And there's no lockbox. There's no way for me to get in. So I just checked the door for the heck of it. It opens up. So I'm thinking, well, they must have left it open by mistake. I walk in this house, and there's an old man sitting at his kitchen table reading the newspaper, stark naked. Scared the heck out of me, scared the heck out of him.
Did you just go get a cup of coffee?
I asked him for the sports section. No, I backed off, closed the door. I'm sorry, and I ran like heck, man.
He
didn't come out. No, he was naked, thankfully. crazy.
That's funny. We were heading up to look at some land up in Coal Creek the other day, and we stopped to get some gas, and we were coming went in to get some waters, and then Chris, our general manager, he pulls up with his Durango, pulls it right up to the front door, and I'm like, as I'm coming out, I'm like, oh, cool, he came up. I just have to jump in the car. Why? I step down and I open the door, and it's not Chris. It was some other guy sitting in the seat. Chris was at the car next to it.
That's funny.
He's like, over here.
That's
so
funny.
I've done it too, but yeah, I've never walked in a house. But I was like, oh
man.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, we've had big changes in our market due to COVID and that type of stuff. How has your business been affected, or has it?
Well, yeah, it's been affected. There's no way, you know, it couldn't be affected, but we adapt, you know, we adapt. So when I set up a search for people now, I make sure they get homes, all the homes except the homes that have tenants in them, mm-hmm. because we can't show tenant-occupied properties. You know, I've had an occasion where I'd schedule appointments and I get a call, you know, the people really are uncomfortable having you come over. We'd rather have you, you know, cancel it and wait till things change. And I understand that too. You know, yeah. I'm very respectful of it. When I show homes, I bring my hand sanitizer for me and for people. We're masked up. We stay away from each other. When it first happened, what I was doing was opening the home, going through it, and then let them go through it. We'd go through it separately. Yeah. And then if they liked, or then I'd open up, let them go through. If they didn't like it, we'd go on. If they liked it, then I go walk through it. But today we're pretty much all going in together, just being careful.
Just careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned that we can't show tenant-occupied homes, and that's a directive of the governor.
Correct.
Right. And that's right. To protect the tenant, so because they don't.
Yes.
But we can't even ask them to show it.
No.
Or they
we can't.
that we could get in trouble for that. So that makes it a little bit difficult, especially if you've got one listed, right, and somebody puts in an offer sight unseen, the inspection stuff. So that's a big challenge. And then I know in our market now also we can't do open houses.
Right.
Were you a big proponent of doing open houses or?
Not lately. When I first got in the business, I did them every
weekend.
Good way to start. Great way to start your business. Great way to meet clients. Great way to get some buyers and even some sellers. That was great for my business. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done open houses in a while. When I have take listings, like today I got a text from one of my clients who has a listing. She said, can we do an open house this Sunday? Mm-hmm. And normally I would put it out on our Facebook page and we'd get people to do it. And I explained to her how we can't. She understood. But
It's a great way to start. Are you leveraging technology in any way of showing homes, or are you doing?
No, I'm really not.
You're not.
I'm not. No, I'm not, because I'm not doing any. I haven't done any virtual open houses, and that would be that's a great way to leverage technology.
That's a good way to get some exposure to a property, right?
Yeah.
It's yet to be seen how effective it is of selling homes, but it is a way that people can at least get that out there. And
yeah.
I know there's some agents that are doing that, and I think people are going to figure these things out. Is there anything that you're doing in this market that maybe you weren't doing before that you think you'll continue to do after?
Well, because of COVID, I've always, it's the ham in me to do videos. I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And for a while, I was doing videos, weekly videos, just keeping people updated on what's happening with COVID and the community and trying to be positive. And I want to, that's one of the things I want to do with the podcast. I want to stay in front of people. I want to, you know, get a message across to the people out there in our Facebook world and our whole internet world.
Right. So is it a good time to buy?
Oh man, it's the best
time to sell.
It's a great time to do both. It's a rare thing that we are in a buyer's market and a seller's market. And even though we have, you know, I say it's a buyer's market because our interest rates are so ridiculously low now. I mean, I just did a VA loan just recently, last week, 2.75. 2.75%.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. You can get conventional loans in 3%. So if you're a buyer, our prices are still affordable. And if you're a seller, our prices have gone up a little bit. So you're in a good position there. Most people have equity in their homes today and they can, you know, walk away either. Great time to downsize. If you were thinking about downsizing, there's probably not a better time.
It also sounds like with the lower interest rate, it's a great time to upsize. I mean, because you can get more house for the same payment,
right? Yep, that's right.
So
yeah, you really, that's right.
It makes good sense. Good market, good time to buy or sell. Let me ask you, so let's have a little fun.
Okay.
All right? You're running your podcast, and I'm your guest.
Well, listen, you are one of my main men for many reasons, but you, and people ask me a lot, what is it about Sig? Because, you know, we all get recruited from everybody, whether you do one sale a year or 100 sales a year, you know, and, you know, your integrity here. And I would like to ask you, is this impeccable, but what was it that motivated you to leave Exit and start Signature?
So I've been in the real estate industry basically 23 years. And I started in Salt Lake. That's where I was born and raised. I, too, had to shovel snow, probably just not as much as you over those years. But I started with a company called Mansell & Associates, and it was an independent brokerage. And I think the reason I made it through real estate was the broker that I signed up with. And because I think if I'd have chosen a different company, I may or may not have done it. It was the sport and everything that happened there. And I worked there for 5 years, and then at the five-year mark, Mansell sold to a large company called NRT. And NRT came in and bought three big brands, which was Waterly Better Homes and Gardens, Mansell, and Coldwell Banker. And they merged them all into one, which became Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. At that time, my broker that I worked for, Mark Handy, ended up going to another brokerage. And I decided, along with another agent, because I was able to get my broker's license, to go out and open my own office. And so we opened a little office called Infinity Real Estate. Infinity Real Estate Group, actually. And we were really proud of our logo, and we were working hard, and we ended up getting about 4,200 square feet of office space. Most of it was hallway. Wasn't set up right to be an office. I used to joke, it's the brown building in the north end of the Fred Meyer parking lot, you know, the one that's leaning. But we struggled for 3.5 years trying to build a brokerage, and we didn't get any bigger than 9 agents. We could not figure out the method to grow. We were selling a decent amount of real estate, but me and my business partner, Andy, at the time, we're splitting everything. We weren't really making enough money for two families. We're making really enough for one person to survive because of all the money we had to put into the office and stuff. And so Exit Realty came along at a point where it was just perfect. You know, you talk about signs and everything like that. The morning, one morning, me and Andy met. We sat at a conference room table and we said, you know what? It's been real, it's been fun, but it's time to call the dream quits. It's costing too much money. We'd make more money if we just parted ways and worked from our basements, you know? And so we kind of made a decision to do that. And then all of a sudden, I went out and checked the mail, and I got an invitation to the Jazz game for a free Jazz tickets. And it was for this new franchise coming into town, Exit Realty. So they came along in the right time for me and taught me, they gave me a system to follow to build a brokerage. Right, and I learned a lot through that, but in reality, it wasn't anything that I couldn't have probably figured out myself, but I hadn't, right? And they just gave me a structure, and we just followed it, and we grew. We grew to about 320 agents, three offices in Salt Lake.
Wow.
And at that point, in October of 2017, we were at the Exit Convention, and they named me Broker of the Year for all of Exit International. That's 1,500 offices in the U.S. and Canada, Cloud 9. And then they gave me this opportunity to buy the region of Nevada, okay, October of 2007.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that just seems like the next logical step. And so I put my money towards that and moved to Vegas. My intention wasn't to move to Vegas at first, but you know what was happening in 2007, 2008. Everything was closing. The large real estate offices down here were filing bankruptcy, reorganizing things. And I went, oh, crap, what did I do? You know, and so at that point, I had to sell my offices in Salt Lake and move here to protect my investment. Mm. That's how I came to Vegas, okay. Right? And so I struggled really hard through that 5-6 years that I was here before I opened Signature. But what it did for me is I met a lot of great people. So I met Vandana. I met Shelly Panzarella. I met Valerie Grijalva, who's now a Chicago Title. And some great people that connected with some people. And Vaughn had pushed me out of my comfort zone. And in fact, I even met you,
right?
Because you worked at one of the offices for Exit Realty that I oversaw too.
Yep.
But I struggled through that. And it was to a point where everything that I'd saved, all that kind of money had just dwindled. In fact, I was in a really bad point for a long time. But we sold 6 offices, but I could never find somebody with the vision that I had to build something great. I liked building mega offices and wanted to be the largest and the best in the market. And so I didn't feel that I was able to do that with that brand at that point. And so an opportunity came up to dissolve my contract with them after a 10-year stint, 5 in Salt Lake and 5 down here. And at that point, I'd looked at all the business models. And you know, Exit was a split model, and it was a great place for agents to start their career. We had great training, we had all that stuff, but we would lose agents to the 100% model. And so that 100% model became the nemesis, so to speak, right? That's where all the good agents ended up going. So I said, how do we develop that and how do we do that better? And so in May of 2013, I was able to dissolve that with Exit. And by the end of May, we opened the Signature Real Estate Group Corporation and have never looked back. And I think it's due to the fact that you start with good people that care and you attract people that care, you know, and then you bring people on like yourself that attract other people, like attracts like, and it just kind of grows. So that's a long answer to your
That's question. A good answer. I like that. So, that's a good story. Well, now we're here. We're where we're at now, and we've done some franchising, and we have, you know, 4 offices here in the Valley. Where do you see the future of Signature?
So it's an interesting thing. So we have slowed down on the franchising model, and due to the fact of COVID, and who in their right mind really wants to open an office when you've got some uncertainty, right? And so we've really kind of scaled back and just focused on our local offices and the offices that we have some ownership in and support of the existing franchises that are out there. So I think my vision now and the vision of my partners is to really dominate Las Vegas, Utah, the markets that we're in there. And then obviously we work with a great broker owner out in California, Susan Ebert. We have a little bit of ownership in that office. and then Devin Thomas, who's a star up in Alaska.
Right.
So we're going to really focus on what we have and make that really great. But my goal here was always to be the biggest and the best, and so we've got a little bit of, we got a ways to go.
Well, we are the best.
Yeah, we just got to get to be the biggest.
Right.
But I want to grow at a span of control and with good people, and I don't want to sacrifice anything. I still want, you know, you've got in Reno the biggest little city.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be the biggest little brokerage.
Yeah, that's, you know, great.
Still feel family oriented.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
No, we've got a great group of people here.
It starts with you guys.
It really starts with you. It starts at the top and goes down. And you mentioned, you know, this is a little plug for you, but this is the truth. This is from the bottom of my heart. I'd rather work for a broker that I can trust and feel confident that he's got my back at 50% than someone I can't trust at 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to cut me down to 50. I'm just telling you.
I wouldn't do it.
It is what all of us love about being here is we have this faith and confidence in you and your integrity. You just always make it better for us.
Well, I appreciate that.
I love coming
to work because I love seeing people. And that was one of the hardest things for me during the initial stages of COVID because we didn't know what to expect. And so we had to basically close down our offices. And that doesn't mean close them. It just meant de-staff them. Agents were still able to come in and out, but it was strongly encouraged that you didn't, but there wasn't any staff. We went down to a real skeleton crew. And people were working from home. And that was really hard for me because I don't consider myself a real social person. Like, I'm not going to go out and network like you do.
Right.
But I thrive off you guys. I thrive off being around people that I love and love to work with. And so that was really hard for me.
Well, I think the company and you really handled the change extremely well. I mean, you didn't dilly-dally with it. You made a decision, you de-staffed the offices, and it's just, I thought it was a great move. And
yeah, looking back, we were really blessed on how we did it, and I think a lot of it comes from going through the downturn of 2007, 8, and 9, because I saw a lot of real estate companies across the country being in regional ownership and working for a franchise brand that really spent a lot of money on unnecessary things trying to hang on. When if you'd make some of those cuts, you could establish yourself better to survive. And we didn't know how long it would go, but we didn't want to deplete our war chest trying to hang on so that when things do turn, you don't have anything left, right, to survive. So we had to make those initial decisions, which were tough, but everything seemed to work out right. And then the neat thing through the whole thing is actually the company came out of that stronger than we went in.
Mm.
And I think a lot of that was because you immediately look at things, where are you overspending? You know, what cuts can you make that don't really affect your business? Where are you wasting money?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you become more lean, more efficient. And then sales didn't stop. You know, you were having record months.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's record for you, but you were having great months.
Surprisingly, yeah, I know.
You know, I know through this whole COVID thing, you really haven't had very many days off, right?
I know. Thank goodness. I'm very fortunate for that. Yeah, it's crazy.
And then there's the other side. We've had agents that almost got paralyzed through this. And, you know, and I get it. Nobody understands. And so, but sales in our market just did not slow down. And the scary thing to me was the fact that there were a lot of cancellations. A lot of people lost their job, couldn't qualify for the houses, but the number of closings still stayed high. And so to me, I'm thinking, if we did not have this pandemic, what would this market have looked like? How bad off would we be with inventory? I mean, how crazy would it be?
I thought about that yesterday. I was looking at some numbers. And I mean, our numbers are not much. We're up from, I think, a year ago.
Yeah.
Year to year, we're up during a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. And our company numbers are the same.
And that's because this is a town that has a high demand. People want to be here. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. If you're going to retire, and a lot of baby boomers are retiring today, there's only a few places you can go. Now, for me personally, I'm not a big fan of the Southeast, Florida or Texas. It's so humid. I got away from that in Michigan. Arizona is beautiful, I'm sure, but boring. This is a play, and you can afford California. Las Vegas, you get everything you want at an affordable price.
And it's easy to get everywhere
else. Easy to get anywhere you want to go.
You know, and I think at the start of the show, you basically talked about Vegas is a great community. And when I first moved here, I didn't feel that.
I didn't either.
You know, but one of the things that I think really changed that was the nights.
October, all the nights, October 1.
And it coincided with October 1, right?
Right.
Which caused everybody to kind of unite. And you kind of really saw what your neighbors were about and what this community was about. So sports has been big.
I still get emotional about October 1 and the nights, how that all just happened. And I mean, Carol and I were taking water down to places and just do everybody.
Give me the chills now.
Yeah. Everybody jumped in. No one even hesitated.
Yeah. It was an eerie feeling in this town, but the community was just huge. And the nights to come along at that point, it was a godsend.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're unbelievable.
Oh, they're playing good hockey
right
now.
Game. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
So, are you a big hockey fan?
You know, coming from Hockey Town, you think I would be.
But
it was the fourth most favorite sport of mine. So it was, you know, baseball, football, basketball, then hockey. Even though the Red Wings were fabulous, great history.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine who's a hockey nut back in Detroit. He said, you know, the best thing about the Golden Knights, he says, it turned you into a hockey fan.
Yeah.
Oh, it did. I've never been so into hockey as I have been since the Knights.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Because, like, I was never a hockey fan. I'd gone to some minor league stuff in Salt Lake, even the Wranglers that were here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same. It's not the same.
No. This is great.
I've become a huge fan of hockey. Don't miss a game. Had season tickets for a few years. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's a great game. And because I'm used to, I love sports, and I miss having the Tigers, Lions, Pistons, Red Wings. So I became a big UNLV fan.
Yeah.
Because before the Knights were here, all we had was UNLV.
Really
we go to football games. Carol and I and six other people would be in the stadium.
That's it.
It was terrible, but it was still college football. You know, major college football was fun. We go to many basketball games at UNLV. That was a great. When we first got here, we still had a pretty strong program. Mm-hmm. Lon Kruger was at the helm, and you couldn't get a ticket. It was great. Now it's a little easier to get in, but you know, we bought season tickets for the inaugural year for UNLV this year.
Uh-huh.
Of course, they're going to stay in our back pocket until next year. But there's a lot. This is a great sports town.
It really is, and you know, with the Raiders coming and the building of the Allegiant Stadium, that just looks like a fabulous stadium.
Oh man, yeah.
So,
and I'm looking forward to that. I know we can't go see a game this year, but I guess they're going to be having tours.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that they're going to have tours. And you know, it'll be interesting to see, because I know UNLV football is going to play out of that stadium, too. It'll be interesting to see what that does for that program.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. You know, they have a new Fertitta. That new facility they have, the training facility.
Oh, out in Henderson?
No, I mean, for UNLV.
Oh,
they
for
built
UNLV.
On the campus.
Oh.
And they have that, along with this new big stadium. I'm hoping the program becomes a viable program already.
I think they'll be able to recruit better talent.
I do, too.
Because people want to play here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. So, any other questions?
What do you do for excitement? What do you do for your downtime?
I'm pretty boring, Ellie. No, I really like to hike. I got into cycling when I came out here. It's really a great place to cycle. Some streets are a little scary. Road bike. I'd like to try out some mountain biking,
because
there's some great trails around. And I love to hike with my dogs. Yeah. So used to golf in Salt Lake. I really haven't got into it down here. Probably because it takes 3 or 4 hours to do it.
Yeah, it does. It does. But that's the other thing people don't realize about Las Vegas. What a great outdoor town it is.
Sure.
We have so many bikers. I think I read we have more health clubs, workout facilities, what do they call them, per capita than anywhere in the country. Yeah. You know, we have more houses of worship in Clark County.
We need that, actually.
Than anywhere in the country, per capita.
You want to know something interesting? I actually found God and actually got baptized when I moved to Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that's something?
Yeah. I didn't really, I wasn't a big churchgoer growing up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I came down here that I actually did. So maybe because there's more. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, we have them all. And a lot of people that aren't in Las Vegas don't realize about Red Rock Canyon.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous. Mount Charleston. Mm-hmm. I mean, man, Mount Charleston, 8,000 feet up there, 30 degrees cooler. We went up there our first winter. I really got a little homesick. I'd never left Detroit before. I never lived anywhere else and kind of missed the snow a little bit. Someone had told me about Mount Charleston. So Carol and I went and rented one of those cabins.
Oh, wow.
And snow was up to my neck. It was fantastic. The lodge had the fire going. I felt like I was back in Michigan, except I was 8,000 feet up, surrounded by ponderosa pines, views that are unbelievable. And we go there every summer a couple of times just to beat the heat.
But do you go up there for the snow anymore?
No. I'm done with the snow now. It's okay. Yeah. But it was cool. It was cool. And we rented a cabin in the summer up there.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it really is beautiful.
Yeah. I'm looking to get a cabin. That's kind of why we went out to Coal Creek and stuff and looked up in Mount Charleston. And it's more just the memories that you can create in those things.
So. Yeah.
But there's great wilderness here. Granted, it's not like Salt Lake. I mean, it's much greener there, but it's a different type of outdoors. And you got Lake Mead. Yep. And you do have snow skiing at Mount Charleston.
That's the cool thing. In Las Vegas, people don't also realize you can go snow skiing in the morning and water skiing in the afternoon.
Which is crazy.
Same day. You're only an hour, 20 minutes away. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. So anything else you want to share? I know I'm excited for your show, for sure.
I am too. I really am. And I want people, when on my first show, I'll put up contact information. I want people to send in questions, send in what they're interested in hearing about, because this is a show for the consumer to get information and learn about what's going on in the real estate, what's really happening in the real estate market here in Las Vegas. See, a lot of people, I stopped doing this within 6 months of being out here. I don't read articles about real estate unless they're written from someone in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
An article from Washington or New York means nothing to me because we are not the norm. We have our own, we're a very unique market out here.
Yeah, good stuff. So,
That was it. This was important to me, that mm-hmm. we are living in a time that we've never seen before since the Civil War, the divisiveness, the dislike for one another. And during COVID, I'm just begging you, please put your politics aside. Be kind to everybody. You don't know. I don't know what people are going through. I know people are going through a lot. There are a lot of people that are hurting really bad right now. They're out of work. They're going to lose their homes. They have no food. They're just in a bad situation. And I want us to be the people that give them comfort and let's just all play nice. Let's just all be nice. We can become stinkers after this is all over if you want again, but let's just be nice now. I like to see us all do that.
I can't think of a better way to sign off. Ellie, I really appreciate your time today and look forward to seeing your podcast up within the next 30 days.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate you very much. Thank you.